The Old Testament reading presents us with the figure of Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, who was not blessed with children. And this was considered a sign in the Old Testament times of the Lord withholding his favor. For particularly in Old Testament times, for the Israelites, the Lord attached the observance of the law that he had delivered to Israel through Moses to temporal blessings. And one of those very great temporal blessings was the abundance of children. And so therefore, not to be blessed thus was a sign indeed that the Lord had not visited the one who perhaps was faithful to what the Lord had delivered. And so this was a situation in which the mother of Samuel found herself, finding herself in a state of anguish, begging our Lord, praying to him that he would take away her reproach. For this sign was recognized, of course, among the Israelites, and they looked down upon this woman. But she wished to honor and glorify our Lord, dedicating the child whom she eventually conceived, namely the prophet Samuel, to the service of the Lord. And her example is a lesson to us with regard to the necessity to turn to the Lord in times of difficulty and in times of anxiety, however, in such wise that we leave whatever the cause may be of our misfortune, our troubles, in the hands of the Lord. Now, in our own time, in the New Testament times, in the New Dispensation, the Lord wishes truly to bless us, not so much in view of this life, but in view of the life to come. Now, indeed, the Lord may bless us with temporal blessings in this life. But if he blesses us thus, it's in view that we may enjoy life with him forever. So at certain times, our Lord may not bless us in the way that perhaps we would prefer to be blessed. I'm talking about in temporal terms. For God knows best what is good for us, whether it's advantageous for us to be blessed with certain temporal blessings in this life, or whether it might be good for certain blessings to be withheld for us, in order, however, that we may be blessed more abundantly in the life to come. So he may visit us with certain crosses. The reason why these crosses visit us are known to God. For us, their origin is mysterious, oftentimes. Very often we devote a lot of useless time wondering why certain misfortunes, if we call them that, have befallen us. And we allow ourselves to sometimes descend into a state of inquietude over these matters. Whereas, whatever the motive, our Lord asks us to come to him, delivering to him all of our difficulties and the very causes, the motives for our difficulties. Sometimes we might find ourselves in a very difficult situation that is of our own doing. Sometimes it is the Lord who sends these things to us. And sometimes the Lord arranging certain circumstances that are the result of other people's doings, for example. But even if we knew what the cause was, the question is, would we turn to the Lord and place all our confidence in him? See, so many times people allow themselves to become all disturbed because they don't know why they're suffering. They want to get to the real reason. If they only knew, then they could suffer in peace. But this is not the way it actually works. Suffering is what it is because it causes me pain. Whether I know or not, I still suffer. And very often I add needlessly to whatever the Lord has permitted me, because I simply don't submit myself with docility to the hand of the Lord. And this is all that he is asking of us. Suppose that it is my fault that I am suffering this, that, or the other. The question is, in the here and now, am I willing to see whatever I'm suffering as a penance sent to me by our Lord? Or again, maybe not. But am I therefore able to see this suffering as an opportunity to unite with the sufferings of our Lord for the good of my soul and for others? This is what it means to turn to the Lord in all circumstances, whatever the motive may be, for our sufferings, for the crosses that our Lord has sent to me. And in every circumstance, to turn to the Lord and giving him what he really wants for me, which is my heart, because he has already given me himself. He has opened up to me, and now he wishes for me to open up to him, regardless of from which direction I came from. But simply that here and now, wherever I find myself, in whatever state I find myself, that I open myself up, and this is always possible in this life. We're never so far beyond the reach of our Lord in this life that we cannot turn our hearts to him and open up to him, and then receive an abundance of blessings that he wishes to give us, whether they be temporal blessings or spiritual blessings in preparation for the life that he has prepared for those who love him. So this is our first point of reflection, is to follow after the example of Hannah and turning to the Lord in all of our difficulties and placing in him a quiet confidence that he will work out things for the best. And the second point of consideration is that we should do these things without worrying about human respect. We shouldn't worry so much about what other people will think, whether we devote this or that time to prayer, or whether we arrange our spiritual life in this or that manner. This is not to say that we should undertake what might be considered bizarre spiritual practices. We should have a well-ordered prayer life, to be sure, one that is modest, one that in particular our Lord knows about, but we should not be afraid of undertaking the life of prayer in such wise that we aim above all to please our Lord and not to please men. Whether to please men we mean to be ostentatious, or whether we simply mean that we are very careful not to look overly pious. Rather, we ought to aim to please the Lord, that we practice a piety that's pleasing to the Lord, without worrying about whether anybody thinks we are being overly pious. Or again, practicing in such a way that, to the other extreme, that we're merely concerned whether somebody thinks we're pious, instead of examining our hearts to see whether that piety actually exists in our hearts, and that we are truly offering up something pleasing to the Lord. So it's a question of the intention of our prayer, that we ought to be true men and women of prayer. This is what we are called to be. In every circumstance, it doesn't mean that we come to chapel such as the one here and we spend all our day in prayer. This is not a good idea if we have many daily duties that God is expecting us to fulfill. We need to take care of those daily duties. There's no question about that. But God gives each one of us, no matter how many duties we have to fulfill, that time to enter into a heart-to-heart conversation with him, be it in a chapel like this, or in our homes, or some other place suitable. where we can listen to what our Lord wishes to tell us, and that we can tell him what is actually on our hearts. And this is what we need to do. This is what great biblical figures such as Hannah knew how to do, and that's why she was so blessed by our Lord. And if it is that we lack those blessings, we perceive that at least the blessing to carry the crosses that our Lord has given us, perhaps it is because we haven't sufficiently purified our motive and looked above all to please our Lord in this way, to make that the foundation whereby we live. That's when we will receive blessings from the Lord. And this is why all generations call blessed the Virgin Mary, is because she lived to please the Lord. Everything she did was a prayer, because she merely, in whatever state she found herself, she always placed herself before her Lord, wishing to do only what he wanted her to do, rejoicing in the Lord, sharing the sufferings of her divine Son in every circumstance. And she did these things not only for herself, but for us as well, because that love of the Lord filled her own heart, and the love of the Lord that Lord bears each one of us filled her heart. And so she can't help but love us as well. And she wants to help us to place ourselves before our Lord, like she did, as she did, sharing in her fullness of love of the Lord. So we need only to turn to her to learn how to be unreserved in offering ourselves up as a prayer before our Lord, as loving before our Lord, that our hearts may be like our Lord. Let us ask our Blessed Lady for this great grace, in order that our Lord will give us something precious beyond all price, and that is himself. Praise be Jesus and Mary.